Jesus said to his disciples, "Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for an hour you do not expect the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom the master on his arrival finds doing so. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and maid servants to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day at an unknown time and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." And so the gospel of the Lord. Today's gospel is about effective leadership and the responsibility of those who are entrusted with authority on the highest but also on the lowest level. We have an expectation that people will fulfill their role with an appropriate level of skill, expertise, and faithfulness. During the last month, I've been studying and talking about the recent interview with Pope Francis, which appeared in all the Jesuit publications, as well as other interpretations in journals and newspapers. While all of this was going on, our government was grinding to a halt. It was becoming clear to me that while I find our president and many members of Congress very admirable persons, often very attractive personalities, I have to confess that increasingly they do not represent my values or best interests. Prolonged wars, economic dominance by an elite few, imprisonment without trials. These just don't seem to measure up to my best hopes for America, the land that I love, or the world at large, which is always the frame of reference for a religious person. After living in Africa for many years, the approaches I have seen toward tribalism really do not seem to offer any comprehension of the problem. Well, this is all background, but as I repeated some of the words of Pope Francis, the thought hit me. Why, this is the way things have been in the Roman Catholic Church for all of my life. I've been around since Pius XII, and this is the first time I've experienced someone in the highest office who really seems to understand and share my personal experiences of being a Christian. Don't get me wrong, there have been some excellent people in high offices, ones who far exceed normal leadership capabilities, but really no one who seems to personally grasp what it means to be an active follower of Christ on the lowest everyday level. In this vein, we Dominicans have had a few golden moments. I think here of Timothy Radcliffe, chosen as Master General of the Order. You felt that there was someone in the central office who really could understand you and share some of your experiences. Best of all, you could have a great and productive argument with him and laugh about it afterwards. Together, Pope Francis comes on the scene as a remarkable surprise and blessing. For many years, I was in charge of training, we say formation, of priests. I was apprehensive over how many of the students preferred to take a hard line and to favor older, rigid, Victorian forms and fashions and church style. Of course, you realize that newer generations have to find their own level. One hopes it would include a deep sense of the sacred and a wide and joyful appreciation of people. And I must say that in my experience in working with individual students, this was often the case. My favorite picture of Pope Francis is the one when he's seated on a wooden bench in a trolley car, presumably on his way to work. I'm impressed that he has lived in community and the reasons he gives for being a Jesuit. First off was the missionary spirit. Second, community. and then discipline. Another great feature is that he has learned from his experience in office, recalling that as a young provincial superior, he was far too strict and rigid and made some major mistakes that proved very costly to some of his fellow Jesuits. Then again, one is surprised by his references to novels and music, and we discover that he is a person of vast culture and learning. My favorite image is one that is central to his own understanding of a religious call, Caravaggio's painting of the Call of Matthew. We see the tax collector at work counting his income and surrounded by his helpers. The setting is a simple one, but beautiful in its colors. Rich, warm tones of brown, windows open above, the shadows creating a marvelous, rich atmosphere. The characters are beautifully dressed with the decorative clothing of the artist's time. Jesus is at the right corner of the picture, and he very gently points to Matthew. Matthew, not young, but still full of vitality, his face registers deep recognition. Who, me? I have a calling already. Surely you're mistaken. I'm doing very well just as I am. And yet, we all have felt that deeper calling. There's something more you must do. A person you are yet to become. An inner longing for a fuller richness of experience of all life has to offer. And indeed, the full promises of the gospel. We see the bewildered expression on Matthew's face, and here painting surpasses words. This is a true masterpiece of expression. In his down-to-earth sensitivity to our human condition, Francis shares with us not only mercy and understanding, but it's as if he sees within us the possibilities of real excellence, even in our following of Christ. I'm a sinner, dependent upon God's mercy. With Francis, we're grounded in the possibilities of our own calling. Yes, we very ordinary people would begin to follow Christ's invitation and become agents of mercy and forgiveness with our own brothers and sisters to allow God's calling to find a real expression in our world right now and in the world as it actually is. So during these days, I've adopted the prayer that Pope Francis uttered as he realized he was elected to the papacy. I recommend it to you. After being elected, he went into a room next to the balcony where the big announcements are made. He sought silence, but his mind and feelings were just not at ease. He says he tried to clear his mind, and then all of a sudden there was a kind of light of comfort that allowed him to go ahead. He returned to the electing cardinals and said this prayer in Latin. I'm a sinner, but I trust in the infinite mercy and patience of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I accept in a spirit of penance. Thank you, Pope Francis, for opening the door of such a possibility to all of us ordinary people, beset with sin, but raised up through the mercy and delighted by this fresh and really practical expression of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Who would have expected such a turn of events? We rise up with Pope Francis to the possibilities of these days. I'm a sinner, but I trust in the infinite mercy and patience of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I accept in a spirit of penance. May God bless you.